What a blessing it is to just gather together, isn't it? I mean, really, church family. You know, I go and pick up a drink for Deb every morning, some drink, and the people there just say, this is our family at this place. I'm not even tell you where it's at because I'm embarrassed. But we should say that same thing about us. We're family. We should love each other beyond anything else in this world. Amen? And as David played that song, it just came to mind that, you know, we need to believe what that song said. How great is our God? It's all about Him. And it doesn't matter what we're facing. It does not matter what we're facing. God's in control. And we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. Well, last week, Pastor Rick spoke about the birth of Christ and that birth had a message for you. And my question from him is, did you open that message? Did you understand that what God did for you was to send his son to die? What a gift. And that's what Christmas should have been all about. But this morning, we're not going to look at the birth. We're going to look at the soon return of Jesus Christ. So we're going to play a short video here, and I want you to see something about this. Here's a guy walking up. Guess what he's going to do? Well, he ends up stealing the package. That's what he does. Did you know that more than half of the Americans say that they know somebody who's had a package stolen from their home or something from inside? And that 30% of the people say that they've experienced it themselves. So from 50% knowing somebody to 30, one-third of the people of the United States have had something stolen from them. It's an invasion. It's a violation of our person. But it creates a tremendous amount of anger and a fear of the future. Home security systems abound. You know, they're everywhere. And what's interesting is that police will tell you that home security systems, even though they catch people on camera, that they don't catch very many of them. So now, what home security systems are doing, companies, what they're doing is they're putting in a tracking device in the packages so that when they're stolen, they can track them and arrest the thief. Thieves abound. They're everywhere. My police officer son-in-law just told me that in his jurisdiction that an officer can no longer arrest someone breaking into a home. They can only give a misdemeanor ticket. When you don't give consequences to the little things, guess what happens? The big things happen, right? It's what's going on in our world. The little things aren't being dealt with, and big things are beginning to happen. Remember that things are not falling apart. They're falling into place, which is exactly what that song is all about. God's in control. Let's pray and we'll get into our text. Father, as we just take this opportunity to seek your face, as we learn about things, Father, that are going on in the world around us, help us, Father, to know you and to depend upon you and to understand that you're in control. Bless the message, Father, that only you would be glorified and we all, Father, would know that you're in control. We love you, we praise you, and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my message is The Thief is Coming. And I find that out of Matthew 24, verses 42 through 44. Now, I'm going to read to you out of the complete Jewish study Bible. I love this Bible. I've been reading it. I kind of like Israel, in case you didn't know. And so I got this Bible, and as I was preparing to give this message, the Lord just showed me this out of this version. So, read with me verse 42 through 44. It says, "So stay alert, because you don't know on what day your Lord will come. But you do know this, had the owner of the house known when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you too must always be ready, for the Son of Man will come when you are not expecting him." Out of this passage, and if you read it out of the King James, it's a little bit different, but out of this passage in this version, there are three spiritual directives that Jesus was giving his disciples after they had asked him, when are these things coming that are the end times? And here's the three that I want you to stay with as we look through and listen to the message this morning. The first is found in verse 42, and it is, stay alert. You see, we don't know the hour of the Lord's return. It's going to come like a thief in the night. Only God knows that time. So we must stay alert and be on guard. The second directive is to stay awake. We find that in verse 43. It says, don't allow your house, and your house in this setting means your soul, your person. Don't allow your house to be broken into. Be on guard so that your heart, of your heart, so it won't become dulled by worries of the day or carousing or the world. We need to stay awake. In this day and time, it's so easy to get off of center. And so if we go to sleep, it's our soul that hurts. It's our house that's being broken into. And then the third directive is out of 44, and it's stay ready. Staying ready basically means sorry, I lost my train of thought when I saw be ready. That should be stay ready. Come on, Randy. Stay ready. Know the signs of the time. Know the signs of the time. In Matthew chapter 24, the disciples were asking Jesus, what are going to be those signs? And then he goes through a whole litany of things, and some of those we'll get to today and some we won't. But it's important for the church to stay ready, to understand that there are things that are happening out there that are indicative that the Lord's going to be returning soon. And so this morning, I get to share a prophecy update with you. And we're doing that knowing that we are the masters of our house. Masters meaning that we, as a born-again believer, that we are the masters of our soul. We should be alert. We should be awake. We should be ready. We don't know the time that Jesus is going to return. And if we go to sleep, just what that scripture says, the world is going to take us and divert our attention. So as we end 2018, we want to look at prophetic events. Calvary Chapel French Valley has been doing a prophecy update for many years, dates back a long time. Once a year used to be a good, you know, time to be able to share prophetically what's going on. But now, as the birth pangs increase, and the way that Jesus connoted that or described that was that after a woman gets pregnant, there aren't a lot of pains. Yes, there's morning sickness, but that doesn't count. But as that woman gets closer to having the baby, guess what intensifies? The pains, the difficulty. And so as we see signs intensify, we should know that Jesus' return is near. It used to be that, you know, once a year was fine to give a prophecy update. But I have to tell you that if you're not looking daily at what's going on prophetically, you're missing some things. And that's why Pastor Rick and I, on every second Sunday of the month, on a Sunday evening, we do what we call the Future Today Prophecy Update. We know that there has to be more to share with the church about what's going on for that reason, that we need to be ready. We need to be awake. And the study of prophecy is all about that, to be ready. So this morning, we're going to look at a couple of things a little bit more in depth, as well as a few other things. But the reason that I want to look at these two events that I believe that we need to understand in the scope of prophecy is because I think we're on the verge. You know, there's nothing left prophetically that has to be done before the rapture of the church. There's nothing. But there are a couple of events that our illustrious president just, I think, opened some floodgates to. And we're going to start with that, and then we're going to go and look at a few other things. But today, we're so close to the rapture of the church. So there are two events that the Word does not tell us exactly when they're going to happen, but President Trump's decisions just this last week are truly impacting, I think, the soon fulfillment of those. What are those? We've talked about them in the past, but they've intensified over the last week. And those two things, those two events are the Gog-Magog War and Isaiah 17. The Gog-Magog War we've talked about many a time, where there are three primary countries that will come together to invade Israel. And we've seen over the past little bit of time that these three countries, Russia, Turkey, and Iran, have started to form an interesting alliance. And it is an interesting alliance. But the decision that President Trump made, I think, is going to usher that in quicker than I would have thought. And then Isaiah 17 we'll get to in a moment. If you don't know Isaiah 17, you should read it. Because the gist of Isaiah 17 is that Damascus will be destroyed in one night. We'll get to that in a moment. On December the 19th, President Trump announced that he is withdrawing all U.S. troops from Syria. Took everybody by surprise. It took the Congress by surprise. It took the U.S. military by surprise. It took Russia and Turkey and Iran by surprise. And especially it took Israel by surprise. Because not too many weeks ago, our Secretary of Defense, who resigned because of this, he was saying we were going to be in Syria for a while. So President Trump made this decision. And on the 19th, when I personally heard about this, I thought to myself, that's the dumbest thing I've heard. What is he doing? And in fact, I began to think, I wonder if he is beginning to acquiesce to progressive thought. Why would you take our troops out of Syria? And so it was a catalyst for me to do some study. And so as I began to study it, what I found was, what a significant thing that decision was. And it came almost immediately after a phone call from President Erdogan from Turkey. In that phone call, President Trump and Erdogan were talking about ISIS. And Erdogan was, in essence, confronting President Trump and saying, why are you still in Syria? Because 90, and this is what he, his quote, 99% of ISIS have been destroyed. One of the things that President Trump had said was that when ISIS is defeated, we will take our troops out of Syria. So during that conversation, and I don't think this was pre-thought, predetermined, I think during that conversation, President Trump made the decision to withdraw troops from Syria. And so he came out and only gave Israel a couple of days to know about it and then made the announcement. Now you can understand that Russia and Iran and Turkey, they were excited about it. Vladimir Putin from Russia said, that's the right decision to make. And of course, Erdogan was like, oh, yeah, that's a good thing. Now, President Erdogan had already begun to mass troops on the Syrian border to fight the Kurds. And I know I'm giving you kind of a history lesson here, but it's important to understand prophetically some of these things. And so President Erdogan had already decided he was going to invade Syria where the Kurds were fighting. Interesting about the Kurds for us in Syria is that they were kind of our allies. They were the people that we were helping to fight ISIS and Bashar Assad, the president or the leader of Syria. And so it looked like when you started breaking that down that President Trump was turning his back on the Kurds. What was he doing? So you had to look deeper because something was amiss in all of that. So as I began to study that, what I found was this. The Kurds had already begun to go behind America's back and form a relationship with Bashar Assad. They were selling him oil, they were selling him gas, and they were basically entering into a relationship with him for Assad to protect them because they knew that the United States at some point was going to withdraw from that area. And so President Trump, who, by the way, gets a lot more information from our Department of Defense than I do, our national security advisors, but you can find this if you dig. But he found out that they were doing that, and so he made that decision. Boom, just like that. That's kind of like our president, but it was based on information that he had. And ultimately, to be honest with you, it was based on God. God knows the beginning from the end. And I know this is going to come as a surprise, but he knows prophetically what's been written and what's going to happen. God knows that. The only question that for Christians is, do we believe it and do we stand upon that? Well, I believe that President Trump made that determination because God is preparing for the Gog-Magog war and Isaiah 17. So as President Trump made that decision to remove those troops, the other thing he did was to take out, in the process of taking out all the diplomats and all of the State Department. I want you to think about that for a minute. If all of our troops and all of American personnel are coming out of Syria, and Syria is a hotbed, what might happen? You're right, I can see it on your face. Something big is about to happen in that part of the world. And so I don't think that President Trump is so smart that he can understand the future. I don't know that he reads prophecy, but he became a part of prophecy in making that decision. So that action has created a chain reaction around the world. Turkey, Iran and Russia are all saying, we're going to come in and take over from there. We're going to fill the void. Now understand that America only had 2,000 troops in Syria. It wasn't a lot of troops, but it was so important because those 2,000 troops protected Israel, which is down here. That's the Golan Heights down there where it says Gog Magog War. That's the Golan Heights from where Syria is. And so if you looked at that, America was a buffer from Turkey and Iraq and Russia coming through Syria to the Golan Heights. Now, that's withdrawn. And Lieberman, who is a former defense ministry of Israel, said two things happened when Trump did this. The first one is he said it could lead to an all-out conflict in that area. Second thing he indicated was that the U.S.-controlled main crossing points between Syria and Iraq will lead to more advanced weapons reaching Hezbollah in Lebanon. Why is that significant? Well, it's significant because, number one, America isn't in end times. You know, there's a couple of spots in the verses that allude to the United States, but overall, most prophecy teachers don't see America. And so America has to decline as other countries begin to be the focal point in the end times. That's one of those areas that America is being regressed and taken out of. And so the countries of the Gog-Magog War are all coming together now to enter into Syria in a more pronounced way. And that is a funnel to Israel. Syria is a funnel into the Golan Heights. And so with just that decision, what President Trump has done is just open the gates. Now, I will say that there are a couple of things that President Trump did that were good. About that same time, he signed into law two bills that actually will be good for Israel. One of them was a law that allowed America, to put sanctions on Hezbollah, Hamas, and Iran monetarily. That's a positive thing. The second is that he put a law in effect that will allow Israel and the world to do something about this thing that Hezbollah and Hamas does when they fire missiles. Because one of the things that they do is that Hamas and Hezbollah will go into schoolyards, they'll go into mosques, they'll go into neighborhoods, and they will fire missiles out of that into Israel, knowing that Israel isn't going to take out that neighborhood. So President Trump signed a law that allows us and Israel to go after them in a different way. So ultimately, Israel understands that the United States hasn't turned their back on them. They are just positioning themselves in a different way. Now, Israel knows prophecy. Unfortunately, Israel is a secular country right now. And so they don't see it the way that we do. And so Benjamin Netanyahu's response to the decision that Trump made was to say, hey, we'll stand alone. That's not a problem for us. We don't need America to fight our battles. And as a result, just last week, there have been a couple of times when Israel went in and bombed military places where there's tremendous amount of bombs and you know, the militia for Syria in Damascus and just wiped them out. They were arms depots, you know, and so they destroyed all of those, which then prompted Russia to have a few things that they wanted to say. So the point that I want you to see here is that that decision made on a world stage has significant impact on the world prophetically. It also, in Zechariah 12:4, we learn that all nations of the earth are going to be gathered against Israel. All nations. And as we see the United States go back and retreat, if we can use that term, what we're seeing is that there's more and more countries that are militarily talking against Israel. We should be excited, to be honest, you know, because prophetically, you're getting to watch the end of times and the rapture be prepared to take place. I'm excited about that. Some people don't want to talk to me because I talk about prophecy all the time. That's okay. But the fact is, that should be an exciting thing because in the book of Luke 21, it says, when you start to see all these things, look up because your redemption is nigh. Our redemption is nigh. So when President Trump made that decision, the other thing that hit me was, hopefully you'll remember the Persian King Cyrus, because King Cyrus, thousands of years ago, allowed the Jews to go back to Jerusalem to build the temple. The interesting thing about Cyrus is that 150 years before that event took place, Scripture identified him by name that he was going to do that. 150 years. And in Israel right now, they have a coin that has Cyrus on one side and Donald Trump on the other side. And the reason for that is that they see that those two men, not Jews, but men, Gentiles, were all about helping Israel. God knew it a long time ago. And so the Gog-Magog war is set up. Remember that just a few years ago, Turkey was good friends with Israel. And in fact, Israelis would go into Turkey for vacation. But in the last three to four years, with Erdogan taking over, he became a very militant Islamic man, leader. He's so militant that he desires that the Ottoman Empire will be reestablished. History again. The Ottoman Empire, out of Turkey, controlled the Middle East and more other areas for hundreds of years. Ended after the First World War, but the Ottoman Empire is what Erdogan wants to reestablish. It's so much so that he's established once a year 60 Islamic nations getting together to begin to talk about how Islam is going to take over the world. Now, guess who's going to be the leader of that? You're right, Erdogan is. There are people out there, including Iran, that is saying that he's going to be the great imam. So he has a desire to rule the world. We know that Vladimir Putin does. It's all coming together. Just a few years ago, Iran and Russia and Turkey had no relationship whatsoever. They've never had an alliance, those three, in world history. Never. And all of a sudden, out of Ezekiel 38 and 39, we're seeing that all come together. The Gog-Magog war is close. Isaiah 17, also is impacted by what has just happened with the United States coming out of Israel, I mean, out of Syria. And the reason for that, now that there is no blockage of Iran and Turkey coming into Syria, Damascus is going to be a focal point. Damascus is 45 miles away from the Golan Heights. And out of Damascus, which is the main city in Syria, a lot of Iranian forces are there. And so it's all coming together to prepare to fight Israel in the Golan Heights and even beyond. Israel has said there's a red line. That red line is that Iranian forces and other forces are not to be within 100 kilometers of the Golan Heights. Well, what you're going to find this year is Iran and Syria and Turkey and Russia pushing further and further towards the Golan Heights. And ultimately, Israel is going to say no more. And so Isaiah 17, and we're not going to go look at that, but you read it because it's significant. And I think this year we're going, personally, I think this year, I'm not reading that anywhere, that we're going to see Damascus wiped off of the face of the earth. And that scripture in the whole chapter of Isaiah 17 says that in one day, one evening, that Damascus will be a ruinous heap. Why is all of that important? Well, I think it's important because our president, unbeknownst to him, I don't believe that he's a prophecy buff. I don't think he reads it and says, I'm going to do this to bring in prophecy. I think God has worked through him to withdraw those troops to prepare for Isaiah 17 and the Gog-Magog war. And for believers, that should excite us. And the reason is because God's in control. And God has told us that leaders of nations are allowed to be a leader because he allows it. That's the reason. We need to get to a point as believers that we know that God is in control. We need to get there because that should give us joy, it should give us excitement, and it should give us confidence in who God is. And so when people, you know, say, well, what about all the bad things that are happening in the world? They're in this book. In Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13, it details things that are going to be happening. It shouldn't be an oppression on us or cause a depression. As believers, we should be excited. In Matthew 24, it also says that these events are going to happen when it's as if it was the time of Noah. What was happening there? What was happening when Noah built the ark? When you go back and look at when Noah built the ark, it was bad times. Bad times. People did not love God during those times. There were 8 people out of, they estimate, somewhere around 1 billion people that were saved during the flood. 8 minus 1 billion is a lot of people that were eternally separated from God. We have close to 7.5 billion people on the earth today. They estimate that there's probably 1.5 billion Christians, maybe a little bit more. That's a lot of people that are eternally separated from God. You know whose responsibility it is to get the message out? It's ours. It's our responsibility. And so a message like this can be oppressive because you don't want to hear it. But it shouldn't be oppressive. It should be exciting. Not because of me, but because of the Word of God. It tells us that we're going home soon. But before we do, let's take some people with us. Let's take some people that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Because if you haven't read the end, read Revelation and see how many people are eternally separated from God. Christians, we need to be awake. We need to be ready to share the good news of Jesus Christ. I don't believe that President Trump understood what he was doing, but what he did by removing the troops and all the other diplomats is open the door for prophecy to be fulfilled. Now, there are a number of other things that are going on, and if you go through Matthew 24, you know, you get to hear about pestilences and, you know, that kind of thing. But one of the things I wanted to share with you is about apostasy. Apostasy is an abandonment of religious belief. It's a defection. It's a falling away. And 1 year ago in December, I shared with you this statement. And it's true even more so today. And it's this. You see, I said, the greatest threat to the church is apostasy. Because false doctrine, Eastern religion, new apostolic teachings, meaning the emergent church, have entered the church, not only attacking our doctrinal foundation, but attacking our moral foundation as well. Isn't that true? There are so many churches that don't even open the Word of God on a Sunday. That'll never happen at this church. This Word is going to be what is taught. In 1 Timothy 4:1, it says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." In the future today, one of the things I get to do is I go through and I find headlines that are current prophetic meaning. I'm going to give you four or five. First one is not up there, and that's that there are more witches now than the number of Presbyterians. Wait a minute. What? There are more witches in the United States than there are Presbyterians. That's pretty intense. How did that happen? Timothy said it. He told us. Are we aware of it? You are now. Then you look at, on December 24th, it says, "Chrislam invades Christmas, mixing Muslim and Christian stories of Jesus' birth." Chrislam, in case you don't know, is Christianity being put together with Islam. Chrislam. Now, what's important about that article talked about a church and a mosque doing a play where they talked about Jesus' birth. In case you don't know, Muslims don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They call him a prophet, but they don't believe that he's the Son of God. And so in that play, what happened was is that Jesus was born as a prophet, but no mention of the Son of God. And that church acquiesced to political correctness. Spiritual correctness is probably a better term. And they didn't stand up for Jesus. The next one that's up there is that progressive Christianity welcomes an atheist pastor. How can you have an atheist pastor? Happened in Canada, and the pastor, she, doesn't believe in God. Doesn't believe in Jesus. And so she was welcomed to the church by the synod and allowed to stay there. Hear what I said. She was allowed to stay there. And so her service is to gather people and they sing songs and they talk. And that's their church. The next one is the Crumbling Church of England offers baptism-style service for transgenders. It's interesting that the church in Europe is just disintegrating. In England itself, most of the church buildings have become mosques. But this church, if we can call it that, overall church, this big group, they bring transgenders in and they rebaptize them because they baptize them as a child, but they rebaptize them in the new name, whatever that is. What's left out in all of that? Well, number one, Jesus. But when we are baptized, who are we baptized into? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so what this church has done is to basically say that it's okay to have a second baptism in your new identity. The last one is that liberal churches are compromised and infiltrated. You know, so true what's going on out there. If you go and you visit another church and you don't have somebody teach the Word of God, don't stay. You know, being a missionary, Deb and I always would go into churches and visit and worship. We never would leave a church over in Indonesia because of what we were trying to accomplish. But we have gone into churches in the United States, and you could just feel at times when we've been in churches where you knew that Jesus wasn't going to be taught. I'll walk out of that church because the Word of God is true. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It has meaning. And one of the things that we talked about with apostasy is the simple fact that Christians are acquiescing just for the world. We can't do that. We have to stand upon the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, having a form of godliness but denying its power." There's a big form of godliness out there, and it's working itself towards the one world church. It's what's happening. We, and in our church here, will not work towards a one world religion. We will stay focused on the true Word of God. I knew I'd run out of time. Several things that I really wanted to hit with you, but think about the building of the third temple. I spoke about that in October. If you missed it, you ought to go back and hear that, because there's a lot going on with the building of the third temple. What just recently happened on December the 10th, the Sanhedrin, that is in Jerusalem now, hosted the dedication of the altar for the third temple, marking the event with a full dress reenactment of the eternal offering. Why is that significant? Well, as I had shared with you back in October, once the time comes for them to build the third temple, they can do it within a short period of time. And this reenactment basically says that the priests are ready to reinstitute everything that the temple offered. Sacrifices, all of the rituals, they're ready. And they're even now doing dress rehearsals about that. The last thing I'll share with you before I close is this. Earthquakes are significantly enhancing. Just a short time ago, there was a huge earthquake in Tennessee. The Word says that there will be earthquakes in diverse places. There hasn't been an earthquake in Tennessee in over 45 years. But what was significant about that is that there's a fault there called the New Madrid Fault. That fault goes through Tennessee, and they say that a 4.5, 5.0, or a little bit above, if that size of an earthquake hit, it's going to be worse than an earthquake in California at 7. And so it's starting to rumble. There were 27 earthquakes in that area within just a couple of weeks just recently. Now, that's a diverse place when it hasn't happened there. But in November, there was a 7.0 earthquake in Alaska. Yeah, Alaska. And we talked about last week a little bit that in Indonesia, Anak Krakatoa is a volcano, and it was beginning to erupt. And while it wasn't connected with an earthquake, what happened to Anak Krakatoa was that half of the volcano slid into the sea and created a tsunami that, unbeknownst to the people that were singing and making melodies in their heart, killed them. 450 people, and there's still about 1,000 people not there. If you don't know what the Ring of Fire is, look that up, because California is on the Ring of Fire. And there's so much activity. Yesterday, I just got online to look and see how many earthquakes there were. It's a huge number on a daily basis. Earthquakes are another indication that we're in the end times, closer and closer to when the rapture will take place. There's so many other things, you know, pestilences. There's an Ebola outbreak in the Congo. I don't know if you read this article, but it's killed a lot of people. But there were people in a hospital that rioted and left the hospital who were infected. Now, they left the hospital because the Congo right now is in a civil war. And so they were fearful, and they left. Well, the Ebola virus is highly infective. And they're believing that that's going to spread around the Congo. Is that here yet? Not yet. But if you read, I think it was two nights ago, about this young lady, her name was Bree Payton, 26-year-old, Christian. She works for Fox News and had just done a program, went home, and her roommate came into her room and saw that she wasn't breathing. And as they took her home, or took her to the hospital, she died. 26-year-old. H1N1 virus. We are not far away from an epidemic hitting. Should we be fearful of that? No. You're in God's hands. You're in God's blessed place. If God calls you home, he calls you home. You get to go home. Nothing's better than that. As Paul said, you know, I really want to go home, but I also need to stay on the earth because God has something for me to do. Every one of us should think that way. I'm ready to go. This girl was ready to go. The reports that came out said that she was a very strong Christian, and they were blessed that they knew where she was going to be. Does that take away grief and mourning? Of course it doesn't. When a loved one passes, we grieve. You should grieve. But if they're born again, we should be excited for them. We should be excited for them. It doesn't take the pain away. But what it does is allow us to know we'll be reunited soon. There are so many other fulfillments of prophecy are happening. And so I would invite you to come on the second Sunday evening to the prophecy update that we do, the future today. Pastor Rick does a teaching, and then I get to share current events that are connected. But it's so important. And as we started, and I want to reread this scripture and highlight the things that we opened with. Matthew 24, verses 42 through 44 says this. So stay alert because you don't know on what day your Lord will come. But you do know this. Had the owner of the house known when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you too must always be ready, for the Son of Man will come when you are not expecting him. This passage doesn't say that Jesus is a thief. You know, some people will try to connect that. But it says that Jesus is going to come as a thief in the night, would come to your home to steal something. In other words, unbeknownst to you. But if we do the three things that this verse talks about, we are to stay alert. We need to be aware of what's going on around us. We need to understand that because Jesus is going to return at a time that we don't know, watch, look, be aware. And then secondly, we are to stay awake. Because if we stay awake, you know, and a thief comes, we can thwart that. And so what Jesus was telling his disciples, you need to understand that you need to be aware of your surroundings, of the world, of what's going on. Which leads to the last spiritual distinctive, and that is to stay ready. That's what God's calling us to do. Stay alert, stay awake, stay ready. Because if you look prophetically at what Jesus told his disciples, we're close to the time when our redemption is coming. President Trump, he didn't understand what he was doing by moving the troops out. I don't believe. But in doing that, he's opened the door for prophecy to be fulfilled. And what is so cool about that, as a believer, you should be excited. You should be able to use that to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Just recently, in fact, on the way here, I was listening to Franklin Graham. Facebook or, somebody took him off and shut him down because he had said something about Jesus Christ. And so they just canceled his account. Now they reestablished it, but they were interviewing him, and here's what he said. They asked him a question. Aren't you upset? Or no, I know what Jesus said to be true. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Jesus died for you and I. We can watch as prophecy is being fulfilled. But that message is our responsibility to give others. Amen?